This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the Red Sox spring training show. Joe Weil with you. Unfortunately, no Cooper Boardman today. He's had some travel issues. It's called the game at Butler for FS1. So we missed Cooper today, but it's been great talking to all of you about Red Sox baseball. That sound you just heard obviously came from the man of the hour, man of the week in Alex Bregman, and him talking about his excitement joining the Boston Red Sox, and also talked about his wife there at the end, who's going to be involved at Harvard. And it's been a really fun, interesting day just to talk about this topic, because there are still some unanswered questions there, and we've been talking about it all day long. If you want to join us, by the way, 617-779-7937. We want to hear from you where you want to see Alex Bregman play, second base or third base. Joe Weil with you, Jacob Lastner behind the glass. He's done yeoman's work today for the station, closing out his final hour, working here as well. But some more stuff coming out today about Alex Bregman in this sense. Alex Cora said today that he wants Bregman to play in one spot and not move around. So where is that spot? Well, if you ask Craig Breslow, if you ask Alex Cora, neither of them are committing to saying that he is going to play at second or at third. So there are a couple of reasons why this could be. Is it that they want Christian Campbell to play second base and then move Bregman to third? Because, as we already know, Bregman is a better defensive third baseman. And is it because they're still working with Rafael Devers to see if he's willing to make that move from third base to DH? And then there's that the subplot of that move as well, that possible move. What the heck do you do with Masataka Yoshida? Because even though you can say, oh, you know, you put him on the bench, guy's making a lot of money, and he can still hit, but those first two guys, a lot more important as it's related to this team in Bregman and Rafael Devers. So we want to continue to hear from you. 617-779-7937. The response from you guys has been mixed today, which is expected. And again, we want to hear you chime in. You can hit us on the text line in 617-779-7937. Of course, that's the number to call in as well. So one texter being like, or it says here, no one has overrated this signing like the hard hitting, which he puts in quotation marks, Boston media. Okay. Yeah. Listen, you can disagree with it. That this is a free country. And that's part of the fun of this conversation. You might think I'm overrating Alex Bregman. You might think he's already past his peak. And that he might not make the difference that a lot of people think he will. I would disagree with you, but again, that's the fun of this topic, this show, and being able to talk with all you guys. Now, a texter chimes in on what I just asked before about where do you end up playing Alex Bregman, and he said Bregman has to be at third. No question about it. The part of this that I have trouble in my mind computing when it's thinking about Alex Bregman playing second base is that it's clear to fans and this front office, I would assume, and of course the coaching staff, that one player is a significantly better third baseman than the other. So how do you, in your mind, end up leaving the defense as Bregman at second and Devers at third, and especially if Christian Campbell is actually ready to go at second base. We hit on some of these numbers a little bit earlier, but if you missed it, Rafael Devers, since 2019, is tied for last in the sport in defensive runs saved. Last among third basemen in outs above average. He's committed a ton of errors, most in baseball since 2019. Bregman is a good third baseman. You could say a great third baseman. Won a gold glove last year. And since his first full season in 2017, fifth in the sport in defensive runs saved and fifth in outs above average. So in the end, I'm not quite sure how they end up letting it be that Bregman plays second base. If it really is to appease Devers. And listen, they could figure something out where Devers still does play third. It's just not as much as obviously he has in years past. And the part of it to me, too, is you want to keep that guy healthy. It is important. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox spring training. And just to preview this, coming up next segment, we will have Ian Kundle of Sox Prospects talking about Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer. If you have prospects questions, this is the time to get it in. And it will also talk Alex Bregman, too, and how that signing relates to all of this. We did hear from Alex Cora today after the Bregman presser, and he did talk about Rafael Devers and the shoulders and recovering from off-season shoulder surgery. And Jacob, do we have that sound ready to go?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's hear from Alex Cora.
No, I mean, the only one, honestly, the throwing part of it is Rafi because of the shoulders, but it's kind of like a throwing program. He'll, you know, he's taking ground balls and all of that. The shoulders today, they checked in great. So that's the only thing that we have to make adjustments. But as far as like the swing and all that stuff, he's good, but we have to make sure, you know, the arm is ready to go.
Will Massa be on the field tomorrow?
Massa, yeah, probably he'll play. He's not throwing yet, right, but he'll hit outside. I mean, whatever program they have, you know, if they want to hit outside, he'll hit outside.
What goes into, I guess, making sure his shoulders are okay, like just longer toss or like what kind of?
I think the throwing part of it, you know, the offseason was about rehabbing the shoulder, so he's behind in that aspect.
What was wrong, actually wrong with the shoulder?
No, nothing structural. I think it was more like, I don't know, just soreness, you know. I'll ask B the exact term, you know, but he needed rest. That's the bottom line. And it was actually both of them. The right one happened in Colorado. And we were talking about it. His swing changed from that point on. He wasn't able to catch up with velocity. And he felt uncomfortable kind of like getting to pitches. So, you know, he's happy. They won. but it was tough for him to get out there. So little by little, he's been here with the hitting group. He feels more confident getting to pitches.
All right, so that was Alex Cora talking about Rafael Devers. And interesting to talk about just him being a little bit behind throwing-wise because of the offseason shoulder program. And, you know, obviously, one of the most important things for this team is to keep Rafael Devers healthy. And Alex Cora said as a part of this, saying keeping him healthy won't factor into their decision to play him at third or DH. So, again, we'll continue to see on that front. The texts are rolling in about this topic. Let's go to David from Florida, though. He wants to talk about the talent on this club. What's going on, David? Good to chat with you for the first time this year.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Good to have you guys back on the radio.
Thank you. Thank
you. How you doing today?
Doing great. The weather could be better. Jealous of you in Florida, but you know what? We'll persevere.
Well, I'm about 3 hours from Fort Myers over here in West Palm, but I'm going up there next weekend.
There you go.
So, yeah, it should be exciting. I mean, Bregman speaks with confidence. He speaks with clarity. He's very articulate. So, you know, he speaks the way he plays, and it should be exciting. But I'm calling because they still have they need to make one more trade. They still have a surplus. If they put him at third base, then you put Devers at DH, like you said. What are they going to do with Matsuzaka? If they put him at second, and they leave Devers at third, then they should trade either Campbell or Vaughn and make a big trade and get maybe another pitcher or another bat in the lineup. They also have a surplus of talent in the outfield too. So they need to do something else, too. I mean, well, they don't need to, but it would be really nice if they can make another big trade because, like I said, they have to figure out what they're going to do with all this extra weight they have on the roster. But Bregman is just a big addition. He's just a big addition. He's a winner, and he knows what he's doing. So I'm just really excited about it.
All right, David, appreciate the call. And I know this is the first of many calls from David this season. This is the fun of being back into the fold here, getting a chance to talk with the regulars. The surplus of talent thing is interesting. And this is where I'm a little bit of a hypocrite, because I just said, even though I was going back and forth on it, I think right now I'm going to pick the Red Sox to win the AL East. We still need to see it. And also we need to get through spring training healthy as well. So many things can happen. You know, we're already a little worried about Cutter Crawford, and that was something that fell maybe a little under the radar just because there's so much going on. But he's dealing with some discomfort in his patellar tendon in his right knee. He dealt with it from his third start on, so Alex Cora saying that he's a little bit behind. We'll see how that starting pitching depth is tested. We will see if, you know, what happens in spring training, knock on wood. Everybody stays healthy, but you just never know with this type of stuff. The surplus to me is just figuring out, again, this infield conversation and figuring out where guys should go. And a couple of texts are rolling in here to talk about it. Somebody writes in, is there a compromise option that involves rotating Devers between DH, third, and first, which would allow rotating in Casas and Yoshida? Or does that ruin fielding cohesiveness without the routine of a consistent lineup? Where I feel about the Devers at first conversation, which has been a huge talking point this year, is that if this team was going to do that, this is something that I wish was an emphasis for him in the offseason to work on in some way or way, shape, or fashion. So it's not just in spring training that they're putting this on his plate as well. I also think there's not as much of a need for it anymore now that Tristan Casas is still on this roster, because there was a chance that he was going to be gone. That no longer is the case, at least of now, and I very much doubt that he's going to now be traded at this point that spring training has begun and all that. And this texter, the same texter, adds on, if Devers is playing third, it's only to take care of his feelings and not to win ball games. It's a bad baseball decision to play the guy who leads the world in errors while not putting the Gold Glover at third. Winning cures all, play DH and occasionally third or first to give guys a break. As of right this moment, that seems like the most likely scenario, is that this team ultimately decides to put Bregman at third and to work Devers in there from time to time, and then to open up that second base spot for Christian Campbell. Just a guess. We're still at the beginning of spring training. But the scenario, in my mind, that makes the most sense if this team is to compete for the AL East, which on paper they can do that, that's the situation, the setup to me that makes the most sense, is give the majority of reps to Bregman, maybe give him a day off, whether it's once a week or whatever it might be at DH or just a day off in general, and then you could put Rafi at third base. But they have to work through that because Devers is the guy that's being paid the most money. You know, he's the guy they inked to that long-term deal. And he's so important and so good, you need his head in the right place. They need to, in some way, shape, or form, figure this out. And to me, it's so fascinating to watch and to see it play out. And it's something that we'll all be keeping an eye on here in spring training. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. When we come back, Sox prospects Ian Kundle will join us to talk about some of the guys waiting in the wings that will be making their debuts this year. You know who they are: Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, possibly Marcelo Meyer as well, if he can stay healthy. We'll talk about those guys with Ian, also the Bregman news as well. Before we get to that, let's go to Jacob Lastner with what's trending on WEI. The perfect segue into our next conversation coming up here in a couple minutes. Ian Kundle from Sox Prospects will be joining us to talk about Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, and boy, the fun has just begun here, as it's related to spring training, now that Alex Bregman has been officially signed by the Red Sox and spoke today in front of the media and is already having a role with this team. Really cool stuff to see where his locker or his where his nameplate and where he's going to be stationed at during spring training, his locker. I always forget if, like, locker or, you know, in a clubhouse specifically, do you say locker? When you look at them, they don't necessarily look like lockers. But anyway, he's going to be right next to Christian Campbell. And then in that grouping is Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony. So you have this guy that's known for being a leader now right there as a part of all of this. And it's going to be really fun to ultimately see it unfold as spring training is now started and games are coming very soon. And very happy to be talking to this guy. He knows everything you need to know about the Red Sox prospects. He is a part of Sox Prospects. He is the director of scouting, Ian Kundle. Ian, thank you so much for joining us. Have you been able to stay warm today?
I have, yeah. It's not the best weather, but it's definitely warms things up when you see the Red Sox throwing the ball around down in Fort Myers and making big moves. It's been quite the week, I would say.
Yeah, you can almost feel it a little bit. There's the sunlight, even if we can't see the sunlight, you know, literally here in Boston or in New England. You can feel what's going on down there with the pictures and obviously seeing Alex Bregman down there now with this Red Sox club. You know, I'll start with Bregman, and then I want to get into some of the prospects and maybe how it relates to Alex Bregman. But what was your reaction when you saw the Red Sox finally be able to ink this guy to the deal that he ultimately got?
I think it was kind of a sense of relief because everyone's kind of been waiting for this moment. The Red Sox, obviously, I think they've had a very good offseason. They've done a lot of the things they needed to do, but there was just one glaring hole. And Alex Bregman fit that to a T. You know, he's a guy who can please got positional versatility. They can play him at second. They can play him at third. Great defender. He's a leader, which is exactly what this team needs. And he doesn't strike out. And I think that's the offensive fit is very evident. You know, he's a pull hitter, fly ball type who will thrive in Fenway Park. And he makes a ton of contact. And that's something, as we saw last season, they really struggled with. They had a lot of guys with running big strikeout rates, and Bregman's, you know, a sub 15% strikeout guy. He's going to put together quality of at bats, and he just fits perfectly at the top of the lineup. And I think it brought a sense of excitement that Red Sox fans haven't felt in a while.
Yeah, those are some key points he had there at the end. His K rate was in the 94th percentile. The team was 28th in strikeout rate last year, so he'll help out a lot. What do you make of the Red Sox placing his locker right next to Christian Campbell's, who obviously is a guy we're all talking about?
I love it. I think that's part of the benefit of having Alex Bregman type. You're bringing someone in who, you know, he talked about in his press conference. He had a chip on his shoulder when he was drafted. He came in and he's turned himself into one of the best players in baseball. And now he's someone that can be a sounding board for these young guys. You know, the Red Sox are built, they kind of have these two competitive windows where they have these current stars, you know, Alex Bregman, Rafael Devers, Trevor Story types. And then you have this next wave coming with Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, and Roman Anthony. And having someone in the room that has been through it all, has won World Series, and is just one of the most respected players in the game, to be a sounding board and someone that these guys can just talk hitting with every day, talk baseball, talk life, the value can't be understated. And it would have been hard to kind of bring those guys in without someone like a Bregman type to kind of mentor them. And I think that if he's willing to do that role, and it seems like he is, it's the perfect fit for this organization.
Ian Kundle of Sox Prospects joining us now here on the Red Sox Spring Training Show. I want to get into the Christian Campbell conversation, Ian, because I have found it very interesting that when Alex Cora and Craig Breslow have been asked about where Alex Bregman will play, there was a thought initially, okay, he's for sure going to play second base. And they've been very coy about this with the context looming of, hey, Christian Campbell was just the minor league player of the year, and this organization obviously thinks so highly of him. Have you been surprised by how coy those two have been about this whole situation as it's related to Christian Campbell?
A little bit. I think that what it backs up is what we've been hearing kind of all offseason is that, hey, the Red Sox are extremely high internally on Christian Campbell, and he's someone that they think can impact, you know, the major league team potentially out of camp. And this was, you know, something that we were hearing before Alex Bregman signed. It goes back, I mean, frankly, last season, you know, the way that the Red Sox talked about him showed how highly they view him. And I think that they didn't want to put too much pressure on him coming in. But if he goes out and has a really strong camp, I don't think there's any way you can keep him off the roster. You know, he fits exactly what they need. Also, he's another right-handed bat, makes a very ton of hard contact, crushes left-handed pitching, hits the ball extremely hard, and he has positional versatility. You know, he could play second, he could play left field, probably could fill in at shortstop if they needed him to. I think he played a little third base even last season. And so I think that they don't want to shoehorn themselves into anything where, you know, in a couple weeks, if Christian Campbell is the best player on the team and coming out of camp, that they have to backtrack on it. And so I think keeping their options open makes sense, because if Christian Campbell does what I think he could do this spring, and I think what a lot of people with the Red Sox think he could do, there he has to be on the opening day roster. And it you don't want to back yourself into a corner already.
All right, you lead me into a follow-up question here, a good follow-up question. What do you think he can do?
I mean, I think he could be the guy who makes the opening day roster and has a chance to win Rookie of the Year. And there are obviously a lot of benefits that come with that. You know, you can get draft pick compensation, things like that. So I think that if they, you know, if you're confident that Christian Campbell can be an impact player for you this year, there's no reason to keep him in the minors. You might as well just start him on the big league roster, you know, bring him in at the bottom of the order, start him there, and give him a chance to work his way up, because I think that's the kind of player he is. I mean, when you look at what he does, his ability to control the strike zone, his bat control, it doesn't always look the prettiest, you know, there's a lot of movement going on, but his hands are electric. And I think that he's got a chance to hit for contact, hit for a little bit of power. And he's just a great athlete and become, you know, a guy who is a cornerstone of your franchise in the next, over the next few years.
Again, that's Ian Kundle, director of scouting for Sox prospects. He's joining us now here on the Red Sox spring training show. I've heard you guys talk about on your podcast the Roman Anthony part of all this, and where they're similar players in terms of prospect pedigree. Roman Anthony, by many accounts, is the top prospect in Major League Baseball. Yet, as you guys hit on in one of your podcasts that it was great to listen to, you talked about how Christian Campbell is just a cleaner fit because of the right-handed bat part of it. And then on top of that, the position he could be taking at second base if the Red Sox decide to move Alex Bregman to third. I've tried to do the exercise in my mind, Ian, about where Roman Anthony would fit on an opening day roster just with all the quote-unquote outfielders that they have. Do you see it, or is it more likely that he's going to start the season in AAA?
Right now, I think it's probably more likely he starts the season in AAA. And I think the biggest thing is he's 2 years younger than Campbell. You know, there's no need to rush Roman. Roman does a lot of things great, and that's why he's the number one prospect in baseball. But it's just an age thing. Campbell, you know, being a college guy coming out of Georgia Tech, he's got more experience, whereas I think Anthony could use a little bit more time in the minors. With that said, if he has an excellent camp, I would not hesitate to put him on the opening day roster too. And I think there is a pretty clean fit. You just put him in left field. You have Jaron Duran play center field, and then Rafael becomes your super utility player. And if that's the case, you know, that's a good problem for the Red Sox to have, because I think Rafael in a super utility role could be an incredible fit. You know, he could kind of play some right field, play some center, play some left. You have him play a little infield too. He could still get easily, you know, you can find 450, 500 bats for him.
Right.
And then you have Roman Anthony as your everyday left fielder.
Right. If he's good enough, he's going to play. I think that's a great point.
Exactly.
And yes, he's young, but obviously the upside is enormous with somebody like that. I want to shift gears here to Marcelo Meyer. And Ian, I keep thinking about how big a year this is for him upcoming, considering how much he's dealt with injuries the last couple seasons. From the intel that you've gathered, has the scouting the people in Major League Baseball, the scouting departments across the league and within the Red Sox, have they changed their opinion on this guy due to all the injuries that he's had the last couple of years?
I wouldn't say yet. I think that this is the big year. If he can come out this year and be healthy, then a lot of those injury concerns will go away. But that's a big if. Obviously, he hasn't shown the ability to do that yet. And I still think that, you know, there's a really potentially, you know, everyday caliber player. I think that with Meyer, he just kind of gets forgotten because Campbell and Anthony have developed so rapidly and just surpassed him in terms of the quality of prospects they are. And that's not a knock on Meyer at all. Meyer is still, you know, a consensus top 25 or so prospect in the game. It's just those guys are top 10. And the way, you know, the top of the prospect charts work, there's some tiers in there. And Anthony and Campbell have ascended to a different tier than Meyer. With that said, if Meyer goes out and has a healthy year, and I've heard he looks great, talking to some people who are down at camp, you know, early on, he fits right in with those other two. And if he can come in and have a good year, you know, show he can make some adjustments at the plate, especially against left-handed pitching, then there's no reason to think that he can't be put himself in contention for a major league position, a major league job at some point during this season.
It's really exciting to think about how the guys left over of the big four, so now the big three once again could make their debuts this year. I feel like we've been talking about them, Ian, for so long, and now this is like finally the year where we're expecting to see them in the major leagues. You guys are so good on hitting on players within the system that people like me might not be thinking about or talking about a ton on these airwaves. So I ask the question to you, what prospect that's outside of those top three are you most excited about this year?
That's a great question. And I think there's several that fit that. And that's what's exciting, because even with, you know, they've traded, you know, between the deadline and the offseason, I think 11 prospects we had ranked in our top 60. And with that said, it's still pretty easy to find guys that you really like and could have a breakout season. I think a couple to keep an eye on that are pretty close to the big leagues and I think could be up at some point this year are Hunter Dobbins. He's a right-handed pitcher out of Texas Tech. He got added to the 40-man roster this offseason, and he took a real big step forward at the end of last season. You know, coming into the season, he was kind of seen as kind of a tweener, maybe he's more a relief type. But as the season went on, he kind of he remade his pitch mix. He added a new the Paul Steen's splinker pitch, which he really took to at the end of the season. And by the end of the season, there were scouts who were like, yeah, this guy's a potential starter. And obviously, we've seen the importance of having depth in the starting rotation. And I think that he's someone who could really help the Red Sox out later in the season, either as a depth starter or in a bullpen role. On the offensive side, I think someone, an interesting guy is Josh Nixon Garcia. He is another guy who's added to the 40-man roster. He had a breakout season last year, showing a really intriguing power-speed combo with some good defense. And he does something the Red Sox really need, which is he crushes left-handed pitching. You know, it's a big power bat, and the hit tool is the question mark, but if he can make strides like he did last season with his hit tool, he's got legit raw power and, as I said, destroys left-handed pitching. And when you combine that with speed and defense, you know, that's a really intriguing guy as a potential, you know, fourth outfield or fifth for the long term. And I think could be a very important piece, especially with how left-handed a lot of the young Red Sox players are.
I want to see him in the big league soon, just so the rest of the baseball world can be introduced to his nickname if they don't know it yet. The password is, that's one of my favorite nicknames I've ever heard. Ian, before we let you go, I've been posing this question a couple times today. I asked Rod Bradford this and talked a little bit about it with Will Middlebrooks. Where this team stands right now with the prospects that can make their way to the big leagues this year, the guys that they already have, do you feel like that this team is the favorite right now in the division, or would you put the Yankees or Orioles ahead of them right now?
I think I would put the Yankees ahead of them still, barely. But I think the division's wide open. I think that with what the Red Sox have added, with Garrett Crochet, obviously Alex Bregman, and then the kind of the ancillary pieces around Walker Buehler and some bullpen guys, they've drastically improved in the areas they needed to. And this was the team that last year, you know, won 82 games last year. So I don't see any reason why this team shouldn't be pushing for 90, 92 wins this year. And if you can get above 90, I think that the Yankees have taken a step back, and so the Orioles. That could be enough to win the division.
It's exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff. Ian, are you making your way down to Fort Myers at some point in the near future?
I am, yeah. I'll be down there for once the minor league games get going in March. So I'm looking forward to that. Going to be down there for almost 2 weeks.
All right.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to seeing your coverage and hearing you guys talk about it on the Sox Prospects podcast. Again, Ian Kundle, the director of scouting for SoxProspects.com. Ian, thank you so much for the time. As always, it's so great to hear your insight.
Absolutely great. It's always Talk Shop, Joe.
All right. That was Ian. And I love the background there, because we're going to start to get to know these guys very soon and in an intimate way, because you'll start watching them every single day. And one thing I have heard, not a ton from Red Sox Nation, but this is sometimes something you do hear, is people say, why don't they get rid of the prospects? Why don't they trade these guys? They're not that important. What do you need prospects for? And again, I'm not saying this is a majority level opinion. I think most baseball fans, most Red Sox fans are smart enough to say, yes, prospects are important, because think about all the homegrown stars we've had over the years. But there are some people that do feel like you can trade away these guys. And yet, we're going to start to see, knock on wood, of course, barring a catastrophic injury or a catastrophic miss on the expectations of guys like Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, these are more likely than not going to be household names in this region for years to come. and hopefully a part of a winning era of Red Sox baseball for years to come that we get to watch unfold at Fenway Park across the major leagues. And hey, hopefully soon talking about games in October, as we haven't been able to do the last couple of years. Again, it's been a fun Red Sox spring training show. Texts continue to roll in. You can still chime in if you want to call in. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for this Red Sox spring training show. Joe Weil with you. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show. We got John Lyons and Tommy Freeze Pops, Tom Carroll, coming up next here on WEI. If you're jonesing for some non-baseball talk, they will have that for you, covering everything. But we will have one more Red Sox chat, part of the conversation, coming up right after this on WEI. One of the epic moments in Red Sox history and also Red Sox broadcast history, Joe Castiglione falling out of his chair calling that great catch from Andrew Panintendi off a line drive from who? In game four of the ALCS between the Red Sox and Astros? Yes, Alex Bregman. Forever a part of Red Sox history. Now, both as an opponent and as a member of this Red Sox team. Joe Weil with you here on the Red Sox Spring Training Show as we round things out for you. Appreciate everybody that's joined us. We've had great conversations. Rob Bradford, awesome to hear from him as always, breaking down the Alex Bregman presser. Will Middlebrooks giving the player side of all this, giving some background as to what it's like being a prospect like Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, when you're on the precipice of making the major leagues. But as Will always expertly does, breaking down the signing of Alex Bregman as well and some of the expectations coming into this season. And then you just heard from Ian Kundle of Sox Prospects talking about some of these guys that we will see this year. Finally, the Roman Anthony, the Christian Campbell, the Marcelo Myers of the world. And, you know, there's obviously a great chance that we will see some other players from the minors that we haven't quite seen yet in the major leagues make their debut. Coming up next here on the station, by the way, we will have John Lyons and Tom Carroll from 2 to 6 p.m. So just be sure to stick around for that. They're going to play. I'm going to just preview this. They're going to be playing some sound from Scott Boras today, and he spoke during the presser with Alex Bregman, and obviously he's Alex Bregman's agent, and talked about some of the spending differences between years past and this year for the Sox, who have made some big commitments. Obviously not lengthy commitments yet, because now with Alex Bregman, we know that there are opt-outs after the first 2 years, and it was great to ask Rob this question because it's one of the low-key details of the day that might get overlooked. But as Rob Bradford, our very own Rob Bradford, reported earlier today, he said, per sources, their turning point for the Red Sox when it came to securing Alex Bregman was when they finally agreed to opt-outs early last week. So that actually ends up being a pretty important part of this conversation. The deferrals obviously are too, right? The fact that the deferrals, he's going to get $20 million in deferrals starting in 10 years, in which he'll be paid out $2 million per year. But the opt-outs are another big part of it. But just to close out our conversation today, one of the biggest things that we wanted to see from this organization is the commitment to winning. They have made that for 2025. Their playoff odds are now over 50%. And you might be surprised to just see how much of a jump that the Sox made from a playoff odds perspective, according to Fangraphs, but it was over 10% in terms of those odds, just because of one guy. And when you looked at the teams that could have added Bregman and really upped their odds, the Red Sox were toward the top of that list. They were sixth in terms of their actual playoff odds jumping with Alex Bregman now into the fold. It jumped actually 10.8%, according to Fangraphs. That's how much they think of this dude. And this might mean nothing to you, the whole playoff odds, and I don't blame you. But if you're especially not a big fan of, you know, stats, stuff like this, you just want to see the baseball, love the baseball, watch the baseball. And listen, I love you guys too. I'm a lover of all baseball fans, let me just say. But you have a guy that since his debut, he's been the 10th best hitter in baseball, according to Fangraphs WAR. And then over the last 4 years, even though the talk about him at times was, hey, he's declined, and he's not the player he was in 2019, where he came in second in the American League MVP race. But he's still been the 11th best position player in the sport. He can hit lefties. He can hit righties. The question now becomes, where does he play defensively? And that will get figured out over time. But for right now, things feel better about this year. And you as fans and us covering this team all year long, you can now set some expectations for your spring and summer. And hey, if you want to do it for the fall, even though we're just in spring training, I wouldn't blame you for a second. Because things have changed this year. You could say finally, add that on at the end, but I'm glad we get to finally talk about this team in this sense. Last year, especially in April and May, you guys were not, and just in doing these shows and doing the Red Sox review stuff, there was a lack of optimism about the team because you were promised a lot and it was under-delivered. I think this year, if you're being fair, this team had a B+ offseason. I would take it a slight bit further and say A-. I'm not giving it an A+ because I think that bullpen is suspect. And just if you forgot how bad the bullpen was last year, they were 24th in the sport in ERA, 22nd in Ks per nine. They had the worst second half ERA at 5.45, and they gave up the most home runs, or they were one of the teams that gave up the most home runs in the second half from a bullpen perspective. 16 blown saves. If you follow this team day in, day out, you knew how bad it was last year. I don't think they did a ton to amplify that group. They just have Liam Hendricks healthy. They have Garrett Whitlock back, and I'm excited to see him in the bullpen because I think of all the things and decisions that this organization has made over the last couple of years, that was a mistake. There were times I thought he could be a starter, but in the end, I just don't think he can hold up as that specifically. Very good relief pitcher. I would say great relief pitcher. We saw it in 2021. I'm excited to see it this year. We'll see if Chapman gets the closer spot right from the get-go of the season or if they give it to Justin Slayton. But I do think that there are questions there on that back end of the bullpen part. Starting pitching-wise, believe it or not, this team actually, from a projected standpoint, is supposed to lead the American League in wins above replacement, the starting pitching. Because they got Garrett Crochet, they got uncomfortable. They traded two top prospects, two first-round picks, and got a guy with the filthiest stuff in the sport. They finally got bold. Will it lead to playoffs? I think so. I think it's very likely. But can they win the division? They have to go out and prove it because right now the Yankees, they hold that crown in the American League, even though obviously they didn't win the World Series. And if you're like me, think they're going to be worse this year because they don't have Juan Soto, even though they've tried to replace that. And that's where I see the opening for this Red Sox team. That is why I, among many, you guys out there, wanted to see this team do what they didn't do last year and go full throttle. Because the opening, the sea was opening for this team to make some moves and get themselves in a position to take control of the division and who knows, maybe the entire American League. Because it is wide freaking open. That's just the reality of this year. And we'll see if the Red Sox can ultimately pull it off and make the playoffs and make some headway in October. And we'll look at this day where Alex Bregman smiling up there with the rest of the group, Alex Cora and Craig Breslow and his agent Scott Boras and all that. And we'll see this as the beginning of what ends up being a really fun 2025 regular season. Spring training has just begun. And I can't wait to see what unfolds this year. Hopefully it's the beginning of good things. But obviously this team has to go out and show and do just that. We'll obviously be chronicling it all for you on WEEI. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a fun show. Wish we had Cooper with us. Had some airport issues, but
he'll be back.
He'll be back. Jacob doing great work behind the glass. Want to thank our three guests, Rob Bradford, Will Middlebrooks, Ian Kundle. Great work from them. Love getting their insight. Great talking to all you guys again. We'll be doing it a lot more. I'm Joe Weil. Thanks for listening to a Red Sox Spring Training Show here on WEI.